Men, as independent creatures, it's pretty tough for us to follow and remain loyal to a leader standing by him through thick and thin. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal. We tackle the tough issues many men think about but seldom talk about. We're continuing our series on the godly man, and being loyal is our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. As we kick off our show on The Godly Man is Loyal, let's meet some godly men, our Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck is Vice President of Renewal Ministries. Curtis Martin, the founder and president of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And our Crossing the Goal coach, a former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach, Danny Abramowitz. Gentlemen, loyalty is a word that we don't use a whole lot. We don't hear a whole lot. Danny, would you define it for us?
Yeah, a loyal man is somebody that stands by us all the way. Through thick and thin, he's there, he's trustworthy, he's faithful, and no matter what, he'll be there when the chips are down.
You know, frequently, Danny, it's kind of the modern equivalent of that, which is the false equivalent, is popularity.
Yeah.
Where I'm with you, when everything's going all right, man, I am with you.
Yeah.
And, and if you're wealthy, I hope some of that money kind of falls off you and in my pocket.
Yeah.
If you're famous, some of that fame shines over on me. And loyalty really is, you know, on the worst day of your life, when everything's gone wrong, I am right there.
Right there.
That's loyalty.
Exactly.
And a loyal friend's hard to find.
Very tough.
I mean, when you find it, it's like solid gold, Scripture says. When you have a loyal friend, you got something very, very special. And the Lord wants us to know He's our loyal friend. He's the friend of sinners. He's, and each one of us is a
sinner.
Absolutely. Each one of us is a sinner. We know we can count on the Lord.
And loyalty is key in relationships or teams or anything in military. It's the key factor in all these relationships.
Especially when things get tough.
Yeah, Brian, you know, introduced us as godly men, but really we're actually men who desire to be godly men.
Wannabes.
Yeah. So we're trying to be loyal.
We're on the way.
To a God who's loyal to us first.
Right.
And I'm sure each of you are on the way as well. And we have a game plan for loyalty with Curtis and Peter here on Crossing the Goal. Right after a quick timeout.
Other end? Other
end? I was going to say.
The godly man is loyal, and we've reached the game plan, which is where we break down how we grow in loyalty and how we avoid the things that keep us from loyalty. What's so important about loyalty, and why is it that we're so inclined to break faith?
Well, loyalty is rooted in God. It's another one that's carried. The godly man is loyal because God is loyal. God's nature is loyal. And you and I are creating the image and likeness of God. I mean, what is loyalty? To show constant, continuous allegiance. And that's the disposition that the Lord has for us. Simple terms, He's got our back. He's there. Thinking about the some of the things Scripture says, I will never fail you nor forsake you.
That's powerful.
I will never fail you or forsake you. Jesus is saying, through thick and thin, you can count on me. And He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the deeper those things get in us, the more it produces security and confidence that the King's got my back, and it frees me to be able to give myself to others and have that same kind of disposition toward them.
The amazing thing is, Peter, that when we look at God and we're in the midst of our life, we tend to think about probabilities. I wonder whether He's got me this time. I wonder what the likelihood is that He'll catch me if I fall on this case.
Yeah.
And He's not saying that it's likely that He's going to catch us when we fall. He's not saying it's probable. He's saying, I will never forsake you. And so when we actually question Him, we're really, in a certain sense, attacking the very nature and character of God, who is trying to prove Himself faithful and loyal to us in season and out of season throughout the centuries.
There's so much that's revealed in the story of the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember the whole story where Jesus is going toward that dark hour, which He calls the devil's hour, toughest time of His life. He's going to lose His life for our sake. And He brings along His closest friends. They come to the garden with Him, and He asks them, hang with me while I pray. And Jesus goes and prays, and He sweats blood, and He's in this agony. He's praying for them, and then He comes back, and they've fallen asleep. And He says, couldn't you guys even be up with me for 1 hour?
1 hour.
You know? And they'd kind of give it into their flesh. And there's the spirit's willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak, especially when it comes to even things like loyalty. And then later that night, Peter, who eventually becomes the first pope, he ends up betraying the one he loved.
And he loves him.
He did love him. He absolutely did love him. But he loved himself a little bit more than he loved the Lord, because at that moment, when he had to stand for the Lord, it was going to cost him something. And he was afraid. And the human heart is dominated by fear and insecurity. And this is one of the reasons why people are often disloyal to other people. I'm happy to be loyal to you when it doesn't cost me anything, when it's pretty easy to do that. And I might want to even, like in Peter's case, be loyal to you in a situation. But if it's going to cost me, that's where the difficulty and the tension comes in, and where the flesh rises up and say, protect yourself, run.
And here's the challenge. We want to be loyal, but that's up here. I'm thinking I'm loyal to you. Yeah. But when the moment comes, it calls for a reaction, and that flows from down in here. And so Peter's thinking, I love Christ. I've come to know and trust him. But when the issue comes at, are you going to stand and go on trial with him? Fear. And all of a sudden we react. Yeah. And you look at Jesus and the difference between his flesh is fighting back too. It's sweating blood in the garden. Yeah. And yet he has been able to hold his flesh captive to his will. And to be able to say, I am with you and true. In fact, the catechism teaches that while Christ is sweating blood in the garden, he has each and every one of us, specifically and personally, in mind. Yeah. That he's not just sweating blood for agony and fear or opposition to sin, but opposition to sin in your life and in my life. That's powerful. We serve a Christ, a Lord, who is so loyal to us. In fact, loyalty is so important to us. And he says this. This is an amazing passage to me, which comes from Matthew chapter 10. Verse 32, everyone, therefore, who confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall not confess me before men, I will not confess him before the Father. In other words, I need you to be loyal to me, is what Jesus is saying. And when you are, I will be loyal to you, which is amazing, Peter, because there's going to be a day, I think it might be the worst day of our entire life, when we're going through the particular judgment. And everything that we've done wrong, it's going to just be so humiliating. And Jesus is going to stand beside us and say, that's all right. Even though it's the worst day of your life, I'm with you because I'm loyal to you. Yeah. And that's our salvation.
Yeah, it absolutely is our salvation. I was thinking, there's a passage in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, the devil's strategy against you and I is to enslave us through the fear of death. To enslave us to, Peter was in this condition of fearing death. And in that moment when death came really close, he was gripped by fear and he looked to protect himself. And he broke loyalty with the Lord.
Yeah.
What the Lord wants to do is give you and I a power and a capacity to overcome that fear through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit that we've received. He says in Romans, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body and the passions that are enslaving you, you're going to live.
No, it's powerful to be able to see that and see that when we talk about death, we're not talking only about physical death. It could be the death of our reputation, the death of people's respect. In fact, there's an interesting principle that says that the honorable man will stand next to his friend when he's being dishonored. That's what loyalty means.
Yeah.
Even when things are not going fully, I'm going to be faithful to you.
Yeah. And that's exactly what the Lord's going to do for us. He's going to stand in there and he's going to defend us. He's going to say, I'm not ashamed of you. I'm happy to identify you with you. And he's going to cover us with his blood and with his heart. And that's what saves us.
You know, it's an amazing thing because scripture is filled. Salvation's history is filled with examples of people who have been loyal. I think of David and Jonathan. Jonathan is Saul's son. And he's loyal to David, even though by being loyal to David, it means he's going to lose the kingdom. He's the rightful heir to Saul's kingdom. And yet he acknowledges God working in David's life. And that's a model for us. That relationship between David and Jonathan is the relationship that we ought to have with our Lord, to be loyal no matter what. Brian?
Thanks, gentlemen, for the good game plan on being loyal. Coach, if you'll lead the way to the red zone, I'll be loyal and I'll follow you.
I know you'll be loyal, but I'm wondering about my two prodigal sons. Will they be loyal or not?
Well, we'll see, because the red zone's next here on Crossing the Goal. First, this quick timeout.
Yes, let's go.
The godly man is loyal. That's our topic on Crossing the Goal. We're in the red zone. And guys, you know, loyalty, you think would come pretty natural to guys when you think about the military, even sports. But what about loyalty in our everyday lives?
I think you make a good point. I think men do love to be loyal or to show their loyalty in different ways. And I said, but one of the areas I wish we as men would show greater loyalty today is in defending the church. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the road to salvation. And today, the church is getting kicked around, getting mocked and ridiculed. You know, the church has made some mistakes. The church has sinned. Yeah. The church always sins, right? I mean, throughout history, people within the church sin.
Made up of people.
Okay, it's made up of guys like you and me, broken sinners who are being healed. We're on the way. But right now, the world is rising up, the secular world, this a new rise of atheism that's kind of emerging in our culture, and they're looking for every little thing about the church, and they're absolutely just beating people down with it all the time. And a lot of guys end up just sitting quiet, the church is getting kicked around, never say a word.
And let's be honest, I mean, there's been enough error by people in the church to make it hard to be loyal. It's going to take the virtue of loyalty to do it, because it's not the church's finest hour as far as being honorable and respectful.
Sure, sure.
But what we need to see is the loyal person remains loyal even when things are tough. And if we recognize the church, as you said, is who she is, the bride of Christ, then we're in. We call men and women who need to repent to repentance. We repent,
right,
but we remain loyal, because the culture's heating up in its attack on the church's stance on morality and different issues, and it's going to be less and less popular to be a Catholic Christian, and we have to be more and more loyal as it gets more and more difficult.
And being loyal doesn't mean we're denying the wrong that's been done.
Right, sure.
Not at all.
Sure. Well, you know, another thing is anyone can hang in there when things are going straight. You know,
just in a
football game, I want to see the guy in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, if you're still hanging in there and you're loyal. With the church, let me tell you something. We're out here. When's the time? When are we going to stand up? If not now, when? And if not us, then who? We're going to stand up. Men have to stand up. You know, we're sitting there. The things are tough right now. We're making excuses how to get away. I'm leaving the church. I don't like that priest. I don't like that. You're taking the easy way out. What are you doing for the church? What are you doing to change the atmosphere around there? You as a person, each one of us has something to do. What are we doing in our life? We're easy to point out here what the church is doing wrong, what that priest is doing wrong, or someone else is doing wrong. What are we doing to change that?
Right. And guess what? Who's standing with the church right now?
Right.
The master is standing with the church. Jesus Christ has laid down his life for his bride, and we're going to walk. He's standing with her, and we're going to turn around and walk away?
A good move,
are you kidding me?
Right.
No, I mean, that we're being tested right now. One of the things that I experience sometimes when I pray is I felt like the Lord said to me, he said, Peter, this is a time of testing for the church. I want to know who's in.
Who's in?
I want to know who's really in.
Exactly.
It's like he's shaking the vine.
Right.
And everybody's just kind of hanging on. You're going to fall down.
Yeah.
You're just going to fall to the wayside. But those who are clinging to him and abiding in him and standing with the master and loving his bride the way he loves the bride are going to share
in
his
loyal
glory.
Tough men.
Said and done, you got to believe the rest of the apostles looked at John and said, you were there.
Yeah.
At the foot of the cross, we all ran and you were there for the rest of their life. And now's the time. The church is going through a mystical crucifixion. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look pretty. Yeah. People are criticizing and insulting. Are we going to stand with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with our Lord during this difficult time? That's what we need.
And it really is time to stand up. I mean, we feel that collectively, brothers. This is one of the reasons we've been talking. We feel that passion in our hearts and a zeal to stand up now and defend the church and defend the honor of the Lord and the ministry that he's given to the church.
We also need to honor our wives.
Yeah.
We have to recognize that the church is a mystical union, a mystical marriage between Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. But of all the things that are going on earth, what is called to reflect that most is marriage.
Yeah.
Our love for our wives, and this is a difficult time for marriages as well. I mean, they're breaking up left and right, and those that are staying together are frequently not experiencing the joy that God desires for them to experience. And I think it's important for us to be men of honor, to really be able to honor our wives, both when we're with them in various ways by serving them, but also when we're not with them and just sharing with the world how blessed we are.
How do you show, that's one way to show loyalty. How do you show loyalty, or how do you see men today not being loyal to their wives, apart from divorce, even in conversation?
My wife says, I'm very loyal and everything. I was worried about you. How's your wife saying? No, you know, you're right, Peter. they mocked her wives, or you know, this derogatory thing, or come home and always complaining and stuff like that. And loyal, or something happens that they might go through menopause or something in their life. There's a change in their life. They're ready to pack them up and leave. Well, wait a minute. What about when you're early in your life, when you were a little shaky, your wife hung in there through the thick and thin, like my wife with me, hung in there, loyal to the very end. The vows of the covenant of marriage, it's a covenant.
Yeah.
Are we loyal to that? And we find out a lot of times, guys, the easy way out, we want to take the easy way out.
No, we need a culture filled with marriages where husbands and wives are radiating that love and respect, which shows itself in loyalty. Yeah. In good times and in bad.
And our kids see that. They see in our marriage, not so much what you say, they see how you treat your wife. Do you open the door? Do you pull the chair out when they sit down? How do you treat your wife? Are you respectful to her?
That was one of the three things that I just told my children all along. You know, we're going to make mistakes, but you're not going to blaspheme in my house.
Right.
And you're not going to dishonor your mother, and you're not going to lie. And so I really went after. You got to honor your mother. You really need to do that.
As men, too, we really need to be loyal to each other, this band of brothers. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's a good point, Brian. Let me just show you something that happened in my life many years ago. I knew that I needed something in my life. You know, I had my family and I had these other things in business and I was doing all these things. But as I start growing and transforming my life, I know that I needed to be around other strong Christian men. And the Lord put on my heart to start, I think I mentioned before, and chose Monday Night Disciples, which is a prayer group, accountability group. Mm-hmm. And we start meeting at my house. And these issues about marriage and how you treat your wife and how you do with the church and what's happening in your church, how's your prayer life, what's going on, are you loyal to these things? Are you a loyal business partner? Are you friends? Are you loyal to your friends? This thing is, over a period of time, has really grown. It's still meeting to this day. But that accountability, because you walk in and you can't con these guys. You go, everything's going good. Is it really, Danny?
Yeah, right.
I don't know about that. You can tell, because they can tell on your face and what how your reaction is to things, whether you're BSing or not.
And that's a place where the faith really comes alive,
because
it becomes concrete.
Yeah.
A lot of guys, we were struggling with economic stress in this climate. You know what I mean? A lot of people are really afraid of the future and where our country's going with the debt we're in, all the struggle that we're in. And a lot of times men carry all these stresses and these anxieties and stuff by themselves. We're all alone. And after a while, we can't bear it up on our own. So what do we end up doing? Instead of telling somebody, say, Danny, they don't have a certain to go to, Danny, I'm dying, man. Danny, this is killing me, this situation. We go drink, we go get lost in pornography, we go do something else, we find a new wife, you do all these things instead of living with my brothers. Let's go through the cross together, let's bear it together, right?
But the key to it is, if you go say this out in the world, you're having these problems, they say, hey, man, everyone's got problems out here.
Yeah.
But see, it's the spiritual brothers. Brothers in Christ, that's where you really grow, because they understand it and they know how to deal with it. They know to send you in this direction. Danny, you need to, here's what I recommend to you.
You know, scripture says that a brother is born for adversity, and it's during those down times. And I know there was a particularly difficult and challenging time in my life, maybe 10, 12 years ago, as Focus was just getting started. And, we sometimes are kind of put through the grinder, and I was, and a number of people that I thought were close friends were no longer there. And there were two guys, Tim Gray and Ted Sree, who really proved their value beyond gold in my life at that time. Mm-hmm. And as I look back, you know, I have other friends in my life as well, you guys, but we weren't close at that time. Mm-hmm. Those guys, I mean, there's a level of trust and confidence in that friendship that I think, by the grace of God, I'll be able to carry into the kingdom. And it was because they were there when things weren't going well for me. And that really shows the power of loyalty in my own personal life.
We want to aspire to the words that Jesus said, you know, I will never fail you nor forsake you. Not only Jesus can fulfill that, because we're all weak, we fall, we stumble, we can get up. You know, a righteous man gets up seven times a day or whatever it is. But that's what we're aspiring to, and that's what the Spirit of God wants to produce in us as we mature in holiness, is that guy is so reliable, he's got my back, you can take whatever he says and does to the bank because he's loyal.
And you said the power source up there, the Holy Spirit, has to be the power source. Like the apostles, Pentecost changed their whole thing. They were loyal to a certain point until it got tough. Then once the Spirit came upon them, they really became loyal.
Yeah, the bottom line is, God is loyal. If we want to be a godly man, we got to be loyal. We'll have the last word from the end zone coming up next. Also, our email bag as Crossing the Goal continues after a quick timeout. We've reached the end zone on Cross to the Goal. This time our topic is the godly man is loyal. These guys will have the last word on that after we check the email bag. Gentlemen, we got an email from Robert in Minneapolis. He says, do you pray for someone who's offended you? Absolutely, Robert. I found that if I pray for someone for about 2 weeks, by the time the 2 weeks is over, I've been able to forgive. If I pray sincerely for them, that is, Danny.
Another thing, Robert, you have to pray for somebody because you need the strength and the power to help forgive that person. That person might continue hurting you, but you have to forgive him, the will to forgive that person, and you need the strength through the power of prayer.
All right, also an email from Marcus in Dayton. He says, my name is Marcus. I was turning the channel, and you were talking about lust. I have a real problem of watching porn. I want to stop.
Well, Marcus, you're not the Lone Ranger. In some ways, that's every man's battle. One thing I just want to say is so important is to come into the light. You should have someone in your life who knows exactly what you're experiencing, exactly what your temptations are, who can stand with you and who can help you.
This is a issue that is affecting a lot of men in our modern culture. And one of the things I'd want to say is it's a beautiful place to deal with this within the Catholic Church, because with the gift of confession and the opportunity to find brothers who are also working through this, we're seeing a lot of men who are climbing out of this slavery and beginning to really walk as sons of God.
Men, this is a major problem, and there's different areas where you can go seek help. And I think what the best thing to do right now is just go to our website, which is posted here, and then we can guide you into the right direction.
And thank you, Marcus, for watching, and also all of you watching on the American Forces Network. Let's get the last word on loyalty. The godly man is loyal with Peter.
Thanks, Brian. I just want to challenge you today, brothers, to ask yourself the question, is there someone in my life, a business partner, a friend, my wife, a family member that I have been disloyal to, that I've showed disloyalty? Think about it and take a step. The greatest way to grow in loyalty is to step out in faith in Christ and say, Lord, I know you want me to be loyal. Here's a situation where I wasn't. I want to repair this situation. Help me.
Each of us, deep in the heart of hearts, has a place where God meets us. And I'd like to invite each of you to go to our Lord and listen to these words that he says, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I will also confess before my Father. Jesus is looking for your loyalty. I want to invite you and challenge you to live that loyalty.
Men, old coach here wants to challenge you to something. I want you to meditate this week and think about this. Am I loyal to God and the church, to my wife and family, to friends, and to country? Thank you, men.
All right. Thanks, old coach. And Curtis and Peter. I'm Brian Patrick. Next time on Crossing the Goal, the godly man is honorable. We'll see you then.